Have your Bible to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And of course, very familiar scriptures to us in this Christmas story. Luke chapter 2. While you're turning there, I came across a list of phrases that can be used when you've received a gift for Christmas that you really wouldn't have desired to get, you know. You open it up and you say, "My word, what a gift." Or, how about, well. Or, "Thanks a lot." Big smile. I like this one. "Boy, I hope we never lose this. We're always losing things around our house." Boy, it's just my luck to get this. You know, this year I promised to give all my gifts to charity. The old familiar, "Well, you really shouldn't have," and you're thinking they shouldn't have. to be put on that spot. "It's a great gift, but I'm worried that other people are really going to envy my getting it." Yeah, right. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to begin at verse 8. How did that come out up there? Well, that came out okay. Luke chapter 2. And verse 8. "And there were in the same country..." Oh, I can't do that. We got to start with verse 1. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." This just never gets old. "And this taxing was first made by when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." And let's pray. Our Father, thank you for this record you've given to us. This narration of the events that transpired that night, that special night, that night like no other night when Christ came to be born in Bethlehem. Now as we look at this passage, we pray that you would speak to hearts here in this place. We pray if there's any here without Christ, they would see the Christ as their Savior. They would see the truth of Jesus leaving heaven and coming and taking on that human form to live a human life, live in that human form, the God-man, all God and all man at the same time, that He might be offered up on that cross of Calvary as the atonement for our sins and to make a way for us to be saved. And that through faith in Jesus Christ, we can have eternal life. Oh, if there's any here who need Him, might they come to Him today. And then I pray for us as believers that as we look once again at this narration, that you'll show us some things and point out some things and convict us of some things from the truth of your word. You said it would not return void. We trust that through the preaching of your word, you're going to do a work in hearts and lives today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I title this, A News Flash from Heaven. A News Flash from Heaven. Just want to see how it... You know, sometimes when you do these on a computer screen, it don't always come out like it does up there. So I just wanted to make sure it came out okay. A News Flash from Heaven. You know, we today live in the most informed age mankind has really ever known. Because of the tremendous advances in communication technology, we have instantaneous access to news from all around the world and even from outer space. Information that once took days, months, or even years to reach far-off places is now found at our fingertips, literally. Now, because we've been born into a world that knows radio and television and cell phones and computers and the internet, we are very familiar with that terminology of a news flash. We understand a news flash refers to a story just reported, breaking news, news as it's happening. In our text for today, we find what I like to refer to or call a news flash from heaven. The events recorded here took place some 2,013 years ago. And they took place long before electricity was ever discovered, long before the printing press was invented, long before any ability for news to be reported as it happened ever existed. Here then is what might be called the first news flash in history. Here we find God sending a report of events transpiring in Bethlehem to a bunch of shepherds watching their flocks on a nearby hillside. God didn't use radio or TV waves or satellite technology or a laptop to bring this news flash from heaven. He simply sent his message by way of His messenger, His holy angel. Here God reveals the breaking events, if you will, the news as it happens, surrounding the Savior's birth over in Bethlehem. And then as we read, we find the reaction of these shepherds to God's news flash from heaven. This morning, we're going to look at the events surrounding this news flash from heaven. And as we see what took place this morning as a result of giving this wonderful news, we recognize that what God broadcast to those shepherds that night is not to us old news or a dead story. You see, the events broadcast that night to the shepherds are still making news today. The message of the Savior's birth is the message of man's salvation being provided by God Himself. And so today, each of us must hear And we need to act upon the news flash from heaven as God gave it that night. I want you to look at several things from this passage. First of all, I want you to notice an unexpected demonstration here. An unexpected demonstration. We find, the Bible tells us, that there were some shepherds going about their regular routine. They were watching their flocks out on a hillside somewhere near Bethlehem. They were just going about their daily routine. They probably reported for work and punched their time clock and got on their shepherd's outfit, you know, and got their union card. No, I'm just kidding you. But it was not an unusual day for them. It was just like every other day, time to go to work, let's go out, we got to tend the sheep. They didn't go that night looking for a visitation from heaven. They had no idea what was going to happen in their life that night. And we're told that suddenly the angel of the Lord appears to them out there in the middle of the nowhere, really, without warning, unexpectedly, takes them completely by surprise. Something, nothing like this had ever happened to them before. Hey, it's just another day at work until this happens. All of a sudden, everything changes. Wow! The angel of the Lord appears to them. And not only did he appear, he begins to talk with them and share with them and bring them a message from God. He tells them about the Savior being born and all. And then the Bible says, on top of all that's happened, now the angel appears unto them and gives them this message. And you can imagine how they're feeling at this time. All of a sudden, the heavenly host appears and begins praising God for what had transpired. Now put yourself in the shepherd's shoes. This would be a scary event. You never saw anything like this, and you're out in the middle of... By the way, it's nighttime. It's dark out there. Have you ever been away from a city when there's not a lot of stars and things and see how dark it can get? You know, it's dark. And Boogeyman lives in the dark and they're out there on the hillside. Amen. Have you ever gone camping, you know, and you light that big fire and all? Have you ever watched in the trees how all these shapes start? And all of a sudden, all these creatures are out there. Well, imagine these shepherds out there at night. And then all of a sudden, this happens. And the Bible says they got scared. Knee-knocking scared. They were shaken up by what this is. And you know, I thought about all this. And here's a couple of thoughts about what happened there. They're going through their daily routine, and all of a sudden... God interrupts their routine. And I thought about this, you know, God operates on His time schedule. And oftentimes, God interrupts our time schedule. Oftentimes, God will break into our life and interrupt our life unexpectedly, just like He did with these shepherds. Think about in salvation. Listen, God broke into your life. God interrupted your life to bring you to salvation. You say, what are you talking about? When you got saved, you weren't looking for God. You were going about your daily routine, your normal routine. You weren't looking for any kind of visitation from God on your life. But suddenly He broke into your life with the message of salvation. Suddenly you were confronted with your need of Christ. Suddenly the facts became so apparent and God brought them to you. As believers, now I'm talking about in salvation, God breaks into our life. I remember when I got saved, I wasn't looking for Him. He broke into my life. I wasn't going searching. I was going about my daily life and he interrupted my routine. But as believers, even those of us who are saved. So often we too will be going about our normal routines. We know the Lord, but we get into our rut. We get into our daily practices and what we do all the time. We get into living out our lives. When oftentimes suddenly God will break in on us. It might be through a divine visitation like these fellows had. No angel's going to appear to you. But all of a sudden God starts speaking to you and dealing with you. And breaks into your life and interrupts what you're doing to do business with you. I like the fact that God operates on His timetable, not ours. God came to these shepherds when He was ready to come to these shepherds. They had no idea what was going to happen, but God did. And God oftentimes breaks into our lives. And by the way, He'll often break in circumstances. Use circumstances to get our attention. In this case, He used an angel appearing to the shepherds. In our case, many times it might be something else that God will shake us up. Say, hey, I'm trying to talk to you. I got a message for you. And I had this thought. God doesn't schedule appointments with us. He shows up and speaks to us in His time, not ours. You know, you're here this morning. I want to ask you this question. Have you experienced that visitation from God concerning your eternal destiny? If you're saved, can you remember when God broke in on you and dealt with you about you need Jesus? You weren't looking for Him. You didn't go expecting to find Him, but God said, hey, I'm coming looking for you. And believer, are you experiencing God speaking to you? Does He have a visitation with you? So number one, we see an unexpected demonstration here. A divine visitation from Almighty God. But then notice this, a divine declaration. Verses 10 through 14. The angel said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Here's a message that they're bringing, but it's not an angel's message. It's the message of God brought by the angel. Now, why did God send this message through an angel? Have you ever thought about that? God didn't have to do that. He could have sent a man, a prophet, to tell them. Why, if God wanted to, He could have had one of the sheep tell them. God could have wrote it in the sky. But He had a particular plan here. And God sends this message by an angel. And I believe God sent that message by an angel to authenticate that it is God's divine message. See, when an angel brought that message, there would be no room for doubt or discussion on, is this really the message of God? It would end all doubt. God sent His message by an angel. God sent His message to the least likely people. Here's a bunch of lowly shepherds out there just tending their flock. And here comes God. Have you thought about this? With the greatest message that man will ever receive. And who's He bring it to? He doesn't bring it to royalty. He doesn't bring it to a great big metropolis of people. He brings it to a few lowly shepherds out on a hillside at night. Now, do you think God made a mistake? Do you think God couldn't get any other audience? Heavens no. There was a purpose in this. I believe God brought this message to these shepherds because God sent His message to the lowest class of the Jewish society. See, These shepherds would be the average Joe, if you will. To be a shepherd in the Jewish economy was to be looked down upon socially. You were kind of the bottom rung of the ladder in the social classes. Yet, those are the very ones that God sent the message to. But I believe God wanted to send that message to these people because He's sending us a message. He's sending the message that everyone is welcome. That everyone, this message is for anyone and everyone. You see, when He sent it to the least, whatever was given to the least would absolutely apply to the greatest. See, if He would have sent it to the royalty and the greatest, maybe those under them would feel like, this doesn't apply to me, this isn't for me. But when He sent it to the least, now everybody could say, well, if it's for them, it's got to be for me. I'm glad He did that. How and to who God sent His message tells us a lot about God Himself and His message. Number one, it tells us He understands that we need a supernatural message from Him. Listen, we need a message authenticated by God, so we know that it's God's message and it's absolutely true. And you know, God has given that to us today, right here in this book. A message that is absolutely true, a supernatural message, an authenticated message that we can depend on. Listen, when those shepherds left that hillside, do you think they had any doubt in their mind that they had just heard a message from God? And what they heard was true and accurate and right from God? Listen, every time I read this Bible, I have no doubt in my heart or my mind, this is a message from God Himself. This is true and accurate and what God wants me to know. God authenticated it. God authenticated this very book. It's verified for us, if you will, by its inerrancy, by its infallibility. It has withstood the examination of time. It's a miraculous book. It's a book that never changes. There is no other book on the face of this earth that speaks so authoritatively and truthfully. The Bible is God's divine revelation of Himself and His work of salvation to mankind. We can depend on it. By the way, that message is for us today. And when that angel came, he said, I bring you tidings of great joy. And the message that we find in this book is a message of great joy to us. You see, the message of the Word of God, the message He has given to us today, not by an angel appearing, but by His written Word, is a message, not a message of condemnation, but a message of salvation. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. The message of salvation that God has given to us, God brought a message to those shepherds and verified, authenticated His message by sending it through an angel. God has given us the message of salvation today. He's verified it. He's authenticated it by putting it in his book, in writing, and authenticated it through the inerrancy and infallibility of this book. God's message to those shepherds was that their Savior, their Messiah, had come. God's message to every man, woman, and child on the face of this earth today is, hey, your Savior has come, and He's available to you, and it's found right here in this blessed book. That's why Paul told Timothy, preach the Word. That's why Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Then I want you to notice the third thing. We see an unexpected demonstration, divine declaration, and immediate determination. Verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Hey, we got a news flash. Something's happening over there in Bethlehem. Let's go see. Have you ever noticed how people will find out something's going on they want to go see? You ever been around where somebody says, hey, there's a house on fire a block away. What's your first impression? Let's go see. You ever be on the highway where there's a wreck? Might not even be on your side of the highway. Traffic's all backed up. Why? Because everybody's rubbernecking. Everybody wants to see. Well, God gave these guys a news flash and they said, let's go see. And so they head out. It indicates to us the message was heard. And it wasn't just heard with their ears. It was heard with their heart. Hey, when God said, your Savior's been born, it didn't go one ear, not the other. And they said, ho-hum. Yeah, that's cool. Glad to hear it. Catch up with you tomorrow. No, they didn't just hear it with their ear. They heard it with their heart. See, it affected them. You know, so many people today, they might hear the word, but they hear it with their ear and not their heart. Not affected by it. You witness to people, you tell them, you know, if you die today, you're going to heaven. No, I think I will. How are you going to get there? Through my good works? I bet. Well, the Bible says you can't get there by your good works. Let me share with you how you can get to heaven through Jesus Christ. And you give them a gospel witness and you say, wouldn't you like to trust Christ? No. What happened? It went in their ear. They heard with their ear. They didn't hear with their heart. These shepherds heard with their heart. Man, it affected them. They heard and then they believed. They believed it to be true and accurate. Hey, the Messiah has come. They can find him by traveling to Bethlehem. But see, they have to act on what they've heard. And so the message was acted on. A determination was made to believe and act on what had been told them. And we see what they did. They left their flocks. They put aside the less important because there's something now more important. And they traveled to Bethlehem. And the Bible says they found it just like God said they would. Wouldn't it have been sad if that message would have come to these shepherds? And what we read about it today, and we're awed, and you know, wow, that must have been something. Wouldn't it have been sad if those shepherds would have heard that message, and as I said earlier, said, ho-hum, all right, let's go back to sleep. Or, well, you know, we're busy right now tending our flock. We don't have time for religious things. Wouldn't that have been tragic? To hear the wonderful message the Savior is born and not respond. But they did respond. They acted upon what had been given to them. And listen, today people need to act upon what God's message is. That message of salvation. Hey, we're a bunch of sinners. We don't deserve heaven. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We're sinners, and the Bible tells us there's a penalty. The wages of sin is death. That's separation from God forever and ever and ever, never being able to be in heaven with God, separated from Him in eternal torment and suffering forever. That's the message of the book. But the Bible tells us God loves us, and she sang about the love that God has for us. For God commendeth His love toward us. And while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the message of this book. And that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is a way of salvation, but there is only one way of salvation. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Those of us who are saved and we try to be soul winners, it saddens our heart when we try to give somebody the great gospel message and they give you the ho-hum. I'm too busy. How many doors have we knocked on and had people answer the door? I don't know how many times this is how we go about 7 o'clock at night, people answer the door and I say, you know, we're out visiting from the church and you go to, yeah. And I say, well, let me ask you this. If you died right now, you're going to heaven. Well, I'm cooking dinner right now. I really don't have time to talk, but like dinner is more important than where you're going to spend eternity. But see, that's what we get. People just not interested. People put other things ahead. When we hear the gospel message, there has to be an action. We have to accept. Just like these guys accepted, and it turned into an action. They sought out. By the way, you say, well, that's great. People get and say, hey, there's also a message of consecration here for believers. Listen, we've heard the message and we have responded and we found the Christ and we know Him. But it don't end there. That's the beginning for us. Now we're supposed to go on and live in newness of life. There should be an action on our part because we've heard and made that application. It should affect every part of our life. And we should live as believers. There's a divine declaration. I'm sorry, an unexpected demonstration, divine declaration, immediate determination, then there's an arrival at the destination. Verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. It's interesting that now these shepherds are going to set out and go to Bethlehem. But how did they set out and go? They did it by faith. They accepted everything they heard was true, and they moved by faith. They just believed it was so and acted upon their belief. Listen, the only thing they had to go on is they left their sheep that night and took a journey over to Bethlehem. The only thing they were acting on was what they were told, and what they were told by God, they believed by faith. God didn't give them some magical sign or something. All He did was send the angel to tell them, and they believed the message, and they acted believing on what they heard. They sacrificed by faith. They had to leave those sheep. And I keep wondering, what were the consequences that could have happened to them because they left their sheep? Now, we don't find any record that anything did happen to them, but I'm wondering, under their laws and customs and things, if you were in charge of people's sheep and you left and didn't shepherd them like you were supposed to, I wonder what kind of place you put yourself in. But they weren't concerned about that. They willingly turned their back on all that, and they went to Bethlehem by faith. Have you thought about this? They went to the place that was the least likely place for a king to be born. That's why we sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem. If you read about Bethlehem, when in this day, it was just a little village out in the middle of nowhere. Why, Jerusalem was the big thing, wasn't it? As we read in the Bible, we read a lot about Jerusalem, but we only read a little bit about Bethlehem. To the Jews, Bethlehem was not an important city. But that's exactly where the angel said you're going to find him. And so by faith, they didn't go to Jerusalem. They went where they were told to go, the least likely place. Then they were told that when you get there, you're going to find him in a stable. Now, we have 20/20 vision because, we're hindsight. We're looking back and we're saying, oh yeah, they were told he was going to be born in Bethlehem and all this. But here's these shepherds, and they probably didn't know a whole lot, but they're told out there by the angel, hey, the Savior's born. He's over in Bethlehem, least likely city to find any kind of royalty or anything special being born. And when you get there, you're going to find him in a stable. Does that make sense to you? Probably didn't make sense to them. But they left by faith, believing, okay, we're going over to Bethlehem and we're going to find what's going on over there with the Savior coming, and he's going to be in that city that nobody would expect him to be in, and he's going to be found in a stable. How ridiculous does that sound? But you know, as we read on, we find they got there in verse 16, they found it just like God said. Which brings me to this, God's message is always 100% dependable. These men had to operate on faith, and they did. And they found God to be true in every part of it. Salvation, the journey to salvation is one that requires faith. Faith that God's Word is true and accurate. Faith that, yes, this is God's Word and this is what God says. And then faith that receiving Christ is the only way of salvation. Believing the message that God has said, there is no other way. You can't get there by Buddha or Allah, or you can't get there by being good. You can't get there any other way but Jesus, because God said in His Word that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's what God says. And by faith we have to accept that as true and accurate in order to come to salvation. The faith that receiving Christ is the only way. The faith that forsaking our own ideas and thoughts and beliefs concerning salvation and putting our faith in what God says, not what we think. I get so weary when people, you know, they want to give their way of salvation. Doesn't matter what you think about how to get to heaven. It matters what does God say. How many times have you heard somebody say, well, I just don't think that God would allow somebody to go to hell, or they say it this way, send somebody to hell who's been religious their whole life and been a good person. I just don't think God would do that. Well, friend, it doesn't matter what you think. What does the Bible say? The Bible says it's not a matter of what you do or don't do. It's a matter of have you received Him? And we must do that by faith. By the way, sometimes we got to leave some things behind to come to Him. Those shepherds had to leave their sheep behind to go find the Savior. They had to walk away from what they were doing to get to Him. And sometimes we need to turn our back on some things that we might come to Him. And then finally, a rejoicing delegation. In verse 20, and the shepherds returned sad and dismayed and kicking their lower lip and frustrated. That's not what it says. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They acted by faith. They believed God's Word. They came seeking and believing, and they found it was just as God said. And the shepherds, when they found it just as God said and found the Savior, they went away then rejoicing and praising God. Finding Christ brought them great joy. You know, I couldn't help but think about that. Finding Christ still brings great joy today. A lot of times at Christmas we see the sign, wise men still seek Him. Yeah, because He brings great joy. You see, the person who simply put their faith and trust in the message that God has given us and come to Christ is going to experience great joy. See, there's great joy in knowing your sins have been forgiven. Look up here. Hey, look up here. Every one of us has a sin account. God keeps records of sin. Over in Revelation, we read about the books being taken out where the unsaved are going to be judged. They're judged out of their deeds, out of their works. All their sins have been recorded. And before you were saved, all your sins were recorded in those books. Wow, how does God do? How can He record everyone's sins? Well, the more we come into this computer age and realize how much information our government assimilates on us, we begin to understand that God is much greater than anything man has ever invented, so God don't have a problem keeping records of every sin every person ever commits. It's all written down. But when you get saved, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses your page. See? Our sins are forgiven. God will never remember one sin against us. When we die and we face God, and some of the devil might say, what about that sin? And God will say, what sin? Nothing there. When the page of our books is examined, it's going to be blank. And that's all because of the salvation in Jesus Christ. And that ought to make you happy. That ought to give you some snap in your step. That ought to bring some joy to your heart. You don't deserve to be forgiven, but you've been forgiven. You've been justified. Made just like you've never sinned. Have you ever gone to the hospital when somebody's had that little baby? And you hold that little baby, and it's just so pure and innocent and clean, and that's how we're going to be in God's eyes. Just innocent and pure and clean and wonderful. There's joy in knowing heaven's our home. I know where I'm going when I die. I'm going to heaven. Well, that's because you're a preacher. No, that's because I got saved. And if you're saved, so are you going to heaven. We don't know when we're going to die. It's appointed of all men once to die. One day we're going to meet the grave. One day we're going to meet death. But thank God there's great joy in knowing when I take that step through that doorway, I know where I'm going. I have a mansion waiting for me. I know that hell is no longer a possibility. There's great joy in that. There's great joy in the believer knowing Jesus is with me, and He said He'll never leave me nor forsake me. There's great joy in knowing my life is in God's hands. Listen, my life is not just according to happenstance. The world has luck. The world has good breaks and bad breaks. I don't have that. I have a Father which orders my steps. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. I'm glad there's someone controlling my life and in charge of my life, and it's not left to happenstance. There's joy in knowing my salvation is secure. I can never lose it. Couldn't lose it if I wanted to. And then there's great joy in knowing the peace of God in my heart. Peace on earth. Well, you look around, there's no peace on earth. Huh? You ever thought about that? Peace on earth. Yes, there is peace on earth. It's in the hearts of God's people. We have peace. The peace that passes all understanding. And there's great joy in that. Listen, this is a wonderful message. A news flash from heaven sent by God, sent through an angel. And it's the most important announcement man will ever hear. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Here's the question. Has that message affected your life? Sure affected theirs. I will double dog guarantee you this. When those shepherds came back that night, they were a whole lot different than when they went away. And their lives were never the same. I don't know about you, but it's been that way for me ever since I met the Savior. My life has been different. It's never been the same, and I wouldn't want it to be. Has it been that way for you? Do you know Him as your Savior? Do you know Him as your Sovereign, the King, the Lord of your life? And do you share Him with those who don't know Him? Let's bow our heads for just a minute. Newsflash from heaven. It should make a difference. It needs to be acted upon. I wonder, have you heard the newsflash from heaven and responded? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I wonder how many today would say, I've heard that newsflash. I heard of the Savior. And there was a day when I invited Jesus Christ to come into my heart and into my life and be my Savior. I know the joy of knowing I'm going to heaven when I die. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Hold it up high. No doubt, no question. It's settled forever. I got saved, wonderfully saved. You can put your hand down. Is there somebody here say, preacher, I've never done that. I've been in church my whole life, maybe. I've been a good person. But I've never accepted Jesus as my Savior. I want to today. Here's my hand. Thank you. God bless you. You can put it down. God bless you. Somebody else, I need Jesus today. I don't want to trust my church membership or my baptism or my good works or anything else. I want to come to the Savior today, just like those shepherds did. Here's my hand. Believer, have you experienced the joy in your salvation? You testified you're saved, but are you living in the joy that comes with being saved? Those shepherds came back rejoicing. I wonder how many would say, preacher, I haven't been rejoicing in my Christian life like I should. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I know all those joys you talked about. And yet I walk around kicking my lower lip all too often. I'm asking God to forgive me today and help me to be a Christian of joy. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And put it down. Has He made a difference in your life? I trusted Jesus as my Savior. But he really hadn't made much difference. He's made a little bit of difference in my life, but he needs to make a whole lot more difference. And I know it and he knows it. He's been dealing with me about it. I want him to be the Lord and sovereign of my life. I want to live the way he wants me to live from today on. That's my decision. Here's my hand. God bless you. Let's stand together. Song number 312. 312. Jesus, I come. Listen. You need to be saved. Are you listening? You need to be saved. You raise your hand. You said you need to be saved today. Here's what I want you to do. When we start to sing, I want you to come. And I'll shake your hand. And I'll put you with a man if you're a man, lady if you're a lady. And they'll take you over here to a quiet place and open the Bible and show you how to be saved. Say, friend of mine, many of you, raise your hands. You say God spoke to you today about different issues. Maybe your joy, maybe your surrender, whatever it might be. I want you to come and do business with Him. You don't have to give a speech. Do business with Him about the matter. Settle it with Him before you leave here today. Father, bless the invitation. We pray that You would work in hearts. Now bring that one who acknowledged the need of salvation. We know there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels when one comes to Christ. And there'll certainly be rejoicing here when one comes to Christ. And then bless these believers here, these folks who have trusted You. Help them now. That their salvation would make a difference. That they would have the joy. That they would follow through. That they would allow You to be the Lord and Sovereign of their life. Meet the need in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you come today as we sing? Will you come? Will you?